In his second New Testament letter to Timothy, Paul gave the young pastor bold counsel he'd never forget. He said, "Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, preach the word." Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from this passage in 2 Timothy 4. Clearly, Insight for Living takes this apostolic admonition from Paul very seriously. Our mission, our calling, our role is to preach the word without compromise. Chuck titled today's message, "Every Pastor's Job Profile." And we begin with prayer.
Accept our grateful thanks this day, our Father, as we enter a season of giving thanks. In fact, we say with the songwriter, "Now thank we all our God." And our list goes on and on for all the things you give us that we so frequently fail to mention. Breath in our lungs, the beat of our heart, a mind that continues to work, the ability to read, to hear, to learn, to grow, to relate, and in relating to others, to forgive those who have hurt us and harmed us. And in these relationships, to remember that we have in our circle of friends those who support us and love us. Thank you for each one today. And as we begin this season of thanksgiving, accept our gifts that we bring for the children around the world, food for those in our community who do not have enough. And we thank you, our Father, for those who protect our freedom, those who this day are thousands of miles away from home. We pray that you would watch over, guard, protect, guide them, bring them safely home. The war lingers and our hearts ache for those families who have yielded their loved ones to the war effort, and we pray for their comfort and encouragement today. Now, Father, we thank you for the joy of giving from our wages. Thank you for our occupations, the ability to earn a living. We pray that you will accept our gifts as we give them, first giving ourselves, and then these monies. Watch over the way they are handled and give integrity to the expenditures that move from this church out to others in need. May Christ be exalted in it all as we thank you, our God. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Every Pastor's Job Profile.
Now, if you look at your Bible at 2 Timothy chapter 4, you will see that this job profile for every pastor falls into four parts. Verse 1 is the charge, and it's a passionate one that we will examine carefully and well. Verse 2 contains several commands. There are five of them. If you note carefully, we'll go over each one in a moment. All five are in verse 2. These commands are followed by a relevant and very realistic prediction. In fact, several predictions in verses 3 and 4. So we have a charge in verse 1, several commands in verse 2, 5 to be exact, relevant predictions regarding what Timothy will be facing and we as well who are in ministry, verses 3 and 4, And finally, some personal reminders, four of them, and we will analyze the four as well. First, let's look at the passionate charge. If I may play upon those words, this was designed by Paul to recharge Timothy's battery. Paul's choice of words adds extra voltage to that charge. Talk about a solemn and serious charge. If Timothy had gotten a little bit indifferent, which is very possible, if he had become indolent in his responsibilities, which is again possible, this calling was enough to jolt him back to reality. If you have ever been brought before a judge in a courtroom and you have been asked to raise your right hand and to solemnly swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then you know what a daunting moment that can be. Timothy isn't raising his right hand, but his eyebrows must have been raised when he realized that this charge was coming in the presence of the living God. He wasn't standing before an earthly judge. He was reading this scroll before the Supreme Court of heaven, the universe, in fact. He is being reminded that he is being watched closely and carefully by his heavenly Father, and he is accountable to Christ Jesus. Look at how it reads. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. And then he adds, who is to judge the living and the dead. In your margin, you might write John 5:22. In that verse, we read the words of Jesus where the Father has given all judgment to the Son. We will not stand before God the Father in the final judgment. Christ Jesus will be our judge. He has been on this earth. He understands earthlings. He has been one of us, albeit separate from sin. He is the one who is able to judge the living and the dead. Timothy, you're going to stand someday before this one who will judge your work. He will judge your motives. He will judge your public ministry. He will judge your private life. He will examine the secrets of your soul. He holds you accountable. He is to judge the living and the dead, and he will appear one day and establish his kingdom. The end of the verse reads, so Timothy, you will not miss this judgment. You will stand before this judge. This highly charged surge of heavenly voltage must have sent a jolt of reality and realization through Timothy. Something this important, prefaced by a charge, this electrifying, must be of inestimable value. What in the world is that charge? Verse 2. Get your pen ready. Mark five words. Here are the commands. Preach. Be ready. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. Not simply one command or two, but five. Each one of them deserving, in our English language, an exclamation point. Every pastor's calling begins here. This helps explain why Spurgeon would write what he did, "Do not enter the ministry if you can help it." Why? Because you are responsible to proclaim the word. Others may sit, others may listen, others may watch, but not you. You stand and you will deliver. They will be able to examine every facet of your life, Timothy, and you have no place to run and hide. You are to be a proclaimer. Others will remain in safe places, but you will be right there for all to hear and all to see. There is a message to proclaim, and you are to proclaim it as God's messenger. Your job is not first and foremost to pat people on the back and help them feel welcome. It is not to help seekers feel warmth and the goodness of others around them. It isn't to keep the sinner from being offended. It is to proclaim the message. Every pastor's calling is to stand and deliver that message. the message is truth. Let's say we're in a doctor's office. Let's say you've had pains in your chest and they have troubled you for several days and your spouse has been hounding you to get them looked at. And that night before that appointment, you were seized with a deep pain that went all the way to your back and ran to your jaw and down your arm. So you look for the physician who will make you feel good. Do you go to the clinic that says, all people who want to hear what they want to hear, welcome. I will tell you what you want to hear. You would drive by that in a heartbeat. No pun intended. What do you want? Truth. Truth. You don't want a physician who will overlook a suspicious electrocardiogram. You don't want a physician who will ignore high blood pressure. You want the truth. You want him or her to tell you exactly like it is. And not to mess around. You want it declared exactly as it is. You don't even mind if he uses the C word. In case you've gone with a growth and there's been a biopsy and they've come back with the test results and they call you in, you want him to tell you. That's why you've gone in. Not to do so is called malpractice. I will never forget hearing a professional golfer who was in front of his physician when the physician told him that he had cancer. Happened to be cancer of the prostate. The golfer said, as soon as he left the office of the physician, he walked into the men's room and threw up. When the truth of his disease hit him, it stunned him and made him nauseated. You want that kind of truthfulness. You want the word of God delivered in that kind of honesty. Not to tell the truth at a pulpit is malpractice of the ministry. Don't ever forget that. Timothy, your responsibility is to preach the word. Call it what it is. When you get to the statement as it appears, read it as it is printed and declare it as it says. Now, let's go to the next word, be ready. About now I feel like saying be ready for anything. The Greek command means to stand by. To stand by. It's the idea of being insistent, being urgent. Being ready. J.B. Phillips paraphrases it, never lose your sense of urgency. And that readiness covers all conditions. Look at what it says, in season and out of season. In other words, press it home on all occasions. I've thought of a few examples. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. When it's early or when it's late. When the crowds are large or when there are only few. When you are loved or when you are being criticized. When it's hot or when it is cold. When you feel good or when you're sick. You are to preach the truth. By the way, speaking of crowds, I remember when I was called to my first full pastorate. I left Texas after serving as an assistant pastor with Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost at Grace Bible Church in Dallas. The Lord led us to New England, to Massachusetts. And I'm telling you, I was young and full of all kinds of crazy ideas, like in about the first 6 months, I'm going to evangelize New England. The next 6 months, I'll do some follow-up work. And the third 6 months, I'll have them coming out. Boy, there'll be people all over the place. Man, was I in for a surprise. The first 6 months, I didn't even find my way around Massachusetts, to say nothing of setting them straight. And by the way, speaking of crowds, I counted the people there one July 4th Sunday. There were seven, and three were Swindolls. So we weren't packing them in, shall we say. But I preached the word. I was not responsible for filling the church. I was responsible for preaching the word. Now, admittedly, I was impatient. If there was a mistake to be made, I made it. If I didn't, Cynthia did. If she didn't, we both made it. If the two of us didn't, our children made it. So we were good at mistakes. But we stayed strong in the truth, in season and out of season. And believe me, in New England, there's a lot of out of season. It's known as an evangelist's graveyard. Tough place to serve, but great training for great days in ministry. Before I leave this, some of you may have the false idea that the pastor's responsibility is to be rude. No, it's to be truthful. I appreciate the warning and the wise counsel of John R.W. Stott. He writes, "What we are given here is not a biblical warrant for rudeness, but a biblical appeal against laziness." My job is not to be rude in what I say, it is to be truthful in what I say. And in order to prepare myself for it, I cannot be lazy. Or you will be receiving information that isn't carefully studied, thought through, or accurate with the text. After being told to preach the word and to be ready regardless of what is happening, look at the third word, reprove. This is a command related to assisting others in realizing the truth regarding their sinfulness. Don't hedge. Don't hold back. Obviously, don't come across as a hypocrite, as if you're not guilty of sin. Sin needs to be exposed. It needs to be realized, not explained away or excused. I have never seen anyone change until they realize what they are doing is wrong or can be improved. I appreciate the words of one very helpful writer. The road to perfection lies through a series of disgusts. Somehow or other, the sinner must be made to feel disgusted with sin. An unfaithful preacher is mostly concerned with being popular, not true to the text. He deals in flattery and panders to self-esteem. The faithful pastor is concerned with truth and allowing it to land with full force, even the pain of conviction. I've said for years, pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. You come with a rebel heart and you hear the truth proclaimed, it isn't long before the pain of that proclamation will either drive you away running or will bring you to your knees in repentance. You can't abide the reproof of the scriptures and remain the same, staying under the sound of the word. So we must reprove. We must also rebuke. It's akin to reprove, but it's different in that this term does not result in conviction, but it implies the possibility of a consequence. Declaring the truth and its consequences, if ignored. That's the job of the pastor. Not simply to preach truth, but to let you know what happens should you choose to ignore it. And fifth is a helpful balance. It's the word exhort. See that in verse 2? Exhort. This provides necessary balance. All the rebuke and the reproof will demoralize people that we lead them to despair, actually, if there isn't comfort and encouragement. And this word suggests both. It gives the person a heart to press on and to hear the truth and to return to the Lord. How is that happening? Because verse 2 concludes, it is to be done with great patience and instruction. Beautiful words. Because I'm short on the former, I spent a little time examining it. It means long-tempered. Macro is the beginning of the word, and thumos, macrothumia, is the long word, but macro is enlarging or large, and thumos, from which we get our word thermometer, and naturally would be the idea of heat, or long at being heated is the idea, long-tempered. We have the word short-tempered, but the pastor is to be long-tempered. And you'll be tested at that. It's difficult to stay patient. You will see people in carnality and they choose to stay there. I pastored one church for over 20 years. Some people were carnal when I arrived and they were carnal when I left 23 years later. They chose not to change. They gave me grief. They gave other people in the congregation grief because they refused to change and align their lives with the truth. My responsibility was to be patient and to instruct. To be patient, to instruct. So I am to be bold in proclaiming, urgent in my approach, uncompromising in my convictions, patient in my style and temperament, intelligent in content and delivery. Why such exacting requirements? Why not just sort of hit the floor running and help people feel good and we'll all come back next week to feel good again? Why not do that? Because of verses 3 and 4. See, the connective, verse 3, begins with the word for. It's an explanatory connective. In other words, you could read it because, or let me explain, or since. You're to do these things, Timothy, because. Now he's going to move into the future. Now, how do I know verses 3 and 4 have to do with the future? Did God in my study come and go, "Chuck, psst, verses 3 and 4 are about the future"? Nope, he didn't do that. I would wish he would talk to me like that sometime. But occasionally, it isn't that at all. It's other things that I'm hearing. But what I read is clear. Look at the verse, verse 3. The time will come. Oh, got your pen handy? Circle will. That's the future. When they will not. Circle will. That's the future. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will. Circle that. That's the future. Verse 4. And they will. Circle that. That's the future. And they will turn aside. Five times in two verses. Well, even a defective student can get that. Five times it says will. So it's about the future. Duh. Timothy, this is the reason you need to stand firm. Why? Well, look at the times in front of you. We could say the times have already come. But they were future to Timothy. Verse 3, the time will come. When what? Look closely, when they, who's they? Those that are around you during your ministry, those who may be starting at least when you're preaching the word, those who are running in Christian circles, those who run around with religious people, they, the general public, what? Will not endure sound doctrine. That's a prediction. And we've come to see the day when it's true.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message titled Every Pastor's Job Profile from our study in 2 Timothy. To purchase the CDs or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org. Chuck Swindoll titled the series, Paul's Swan Song. Though written long ago, it sounds like Paul is describing the state of our generation today. We live in times when people are far more attracted to entertainment than pure biblical teaching. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we take passages like 2 Timothy 4 very seriously at Insight for Living. This charge from the apostle set the course for Chuck Swindoll's pulpit ministry during his seminary training. And it's been our mission at Insight for Living from the very beginning. Paul said it clearly, preach the word. Gratefully, there's been a groundswell of support in our country from believers who share our convictions. And we're thankful for those who stand beside us in this cause. Some have given donations from the very beginning, others very recently. But I can assure you that every contribution makes a difference. And it's channeled directly into delivering the unfiltered teaching of God's Word by radio, the internet, through CDs, DVDs, books, and any other way we can reach people with Insight for Living.
Today, we're saying thanks for your support by providing the brand new Insight for Living 2018 calendar. Next year's theme is My Little Children Love One Another. It was inspired by 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Through moving photos, carefully selected scriptures, and helpful captions, you'll be inspired and equipped to let your actions show your love. To give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living and to request your copy of the brand new 2018 calendar, you can call us right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Once again, if you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org.
Imagine what it would be like to share communion at the Garden Tomb near Jerusalem. Or picture yourself floating in a boat on the calm, scenic Sea of Galilee.
Isn't it time you saw the Holy Land? Join Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 4th through the 15th, 2018.
Whether it's your first time or your fifth or sixth time, you will love traveling with newfound friends and family who share a similar love and respect for the land of Israel.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries.
You'll learn a lot, yes, but this isn't an academic trip. We squeeze every possible opportunity to ensure your encounters in the Holy Land include quiet moments just between you and the Savior.
Join us March 4th through the 15th, 2018, by calling 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Chuck Swindoll continues his message about every pastor's job profile Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Every Pastor's Job Profile, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.